Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Monkey Tennis?
Well, this is great banter.
Hot, 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 hot ham.
Monkey Tennis?
Radical. Awesome. Mega.
Are you on an E? Monkey Tennis?
Yeah.
I'm spinning plates here, mate, I'll be honest.
Monkey Tennis?
There have been times when I've been more rubbery than turgid.
Monkey Tennis?
Tits bits. Tit bits.
Yes.
It's just an idiom.
You're an idiot.
Ooh, that's mustard.
Monkey Tennis?
Sustaining and maintaining our core listenership in an increasingly fragmented marketplace.
Hello, all friends of Partridge, and welcome to Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
Rock and roll, let's all have a pair.
Nick Older.
Burke of the week.
And Tom Stab.
You've got to laugh when you fall off a sofa.
So we're here wrapping up your feedback in part two of our two-part feedback special, and straight over to Tom Dark, who's got some Monopoly news.
It's what we've all been waiting for.
I mean, news is putting it on a level that it isn't quite accurate, but that's fine. So yeah, we're just adding more feedback on top of feedback here. So we previously talked about ideas for an Alan Partridge themed Monopoly board, and we've had a few more suggestions come in recently.
And these are brilliant, by the way.
These are very good. So we'll start with a Twitter user whose name is hashtag R7CHO, under a cow, miss a turn, cooking in prison commissioned, collect £500, foot on a spike, miss a turn. Those are all brilliant.
That's really good.
I've got a few more from at worst librarian. A Monopoly token could be Alan's big plate. Some locations could be Longstanton Spice Museum, Bird Sanctuary and Shattered Dreams Parkway.
Love it.
And Dean Tonner, friend of the show on Facebook,
Tonner
also
Tart.
Says...
Tonner Tart.
Yep. Ideas for AP Monopoly, instead of railway stations, BP Garage, Cromer Pier, Pear Tree Productions and Longstanton Owl Sanctuary.
I think he's merged the two there.
Yeah, he's merged
the Spice Museum and the Owl Sanctuary.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we've nearly got enough ideas to put together a Partridge Monopoly board.
That would
be great.
If we had the bell, we'd be getting a ding for a commission right there.
All we need is the bell and the intellectual property rights.
We're nearly there.
We're so close.
I'll just see if this works. No.
Nope. Next up, we've got a kind of what you're doing, who's with you feature, which is essentially your suggestions about what you would do on either the May or August bank holiday with celebrities.
So are you saying this is a new regular feature?
A new regular feature. To be honest, based on some of the answers, I think it very well could be. So I'm going to rattle through these and start with John Wright, who says Emily Blunt and Unspeakable Things. Ooh. I think we're all with
approved.
You there, John. Next up is Ollie. who says, I'd love to spend it with Bob Holness at Wingham Bird Park. Maybe feed the peacocks together, celebrating with a real ale in Pluck's Gutter.
Is Pluck's Gutter a real place?
Is that a gutter or is it a pub?
I have no idea.
I'm assuming it's some kind of pub or restaurant.
I haven't heard the name or thought about Bob Holness in ages.
What he did Blockbusters, right?
Yeah. Lovely to get a mention.
I'm a pea, please, Bob.
A peacock.
Very good.
Next up is Chaz Newkey Burden, who says, I'm actually in Windsor. No sign of Sean, though.
Shame.
Disappointing. Ronald Conman says, hot air ballooning with Roger Daltrey and off to a little chef afterwards for an all-day breakfast.
That is one of my favourites of this, I think.
That's very good.
That's very Alan, isn't it?
Yeah, he's nailed it.
I've contributed one, which has been included here, which I think sounds big-headed, especially as I'm reading it, but says, still keen for the shopping trip to John Lewis with Kate Winslet, followed by some chucky egg. I mean, I'll be honest.
Served in a silver ceremonial putter, yeah. Kosh.
Yep. Yeah. Cloosh.
Chris Fox says, retarmacking my drive with the reliable Gloria Honeyford.
Would Honeyford be good at tarmacking?
Certainly add an air of glamour to proceedings.
True. Yeah. Chris Fox writes in to say he would go antiquing with the innocent Bill Roach. I'm trying to remember who Bill Roach was.
Ken Barlow in Coronation Street.
That's him. Yes.
Well, and he is innocent, just to be clear.
Innocent.
Yep. Roger Moore Festival, okay. I'm not sure if that's a person or a genuine festival, has written in and said that they've been at the archery range with Tony Hadley.
I'd like to think that's real as well.
It seems weird that Roger Moore Festival wouldn't have chosen Roger Moore, really. But there you go.
I guess
Roger
Moore
at the Roger Moore Festival.
I guess they're branching out.
I think at this point we should say, do keep sending those in because that is brilliant. So,
although they probably do wait for a bank holiday. Otherwise.
Yeah, but do send them in when the next bank holiday comes along and then we will read it.
Do that.
Yeah.
Kieran Parr has messaged us on Facebook and asked the question, is Alan autistic? I feel he might be on the spectrum. There are a lot of signs. What do we think about this as a theory?
I think that would have been the natural point to list some of those signs, Kieran. thanks for leaving us hanging.
Do we want to put this back on Kieran and we want a point-by-point breakdown of their evidence?
Before we dive into this, I should stress that none of us are medical experts, so tread carefully.
I don't think he is as well.
I think he is.
He's just a bit self-obsessed.
Yeah, he's just a bit of a jerk.
He's a narcissist, he's an idiot, and that's about it.
Yeah, he's not autistic.
Yeah, I would agree.
So now we're moving on to a section I like to call Sally Phillips. Ross Carpenter wrote to us to say, so Sally Phillips just revealed on Sunday brunch that she actually acted the corpsing laugh in I'm Alan Partridge, all except the one real corpsing, which is in episode 5 when she checks in Alan's drawer. I mean, that was always a running theory that we had anyway, right?
I think it's quite obvious because the exaggerated shoulder movement is what gives it away.
Like really big up and down shoulder movements, which is really good for a podcast if you can see me doing that there.
Very good.
You look puffed up like an owl.
Yep.
It probably constitutes about 30% of her whole appearance in I'm Alan Partridge. Yes. Her laughing. So
it's kind of smirking, turning away, doing the shoulder movement.
It's the bit with the drawer when she looks in and goes, bloody hell, and then runs out the room. Yeah.
Going back to Alpha Papa, we had a tweet from Nick Holden about awfulness in Alpha Papa. He says, I just rewatched Alpha Papa and listened to your episodes on it. You missed out one of my favourite moments. Alan feels bad about Just Sack Pat, and Lynn suggests he gives £50 to Sinn Féin to make up for it. A rare moment where they're both being simultaneously awful. So yeah, it's quite a good point. Like, Lynn normally is, you know, a bit of a mouse and wouldn't suggest something.
She
bad.
Is capable of moments of evil. I wonder if that's moments of evil. I wonder if that's
the
what
Lynn Benfield story.
Yeah, I think she needs that dedication to the church to keep her on the straight and narrow. You know, there's the death pincer move on Alan where he tries to go after her with a rubber hammer, and there's this moment here as well.
So you're saying that there's a darkness that lurks within Lynn?
Yeah, even when she's quoting from the Bible, you know, when she's sort of like, the devil takes many forms. She gets very intense.
So Lynn could actually be the devil.
Yeah, and as we know from popular documentary in cinemas right now, The Nun, people of the cloth can pose a threat.
Very true.
And also the Catholic Church.
Tom Stab there with a comment on the Catholic Church.
How's that teacher?
Should we move on?
So this is a section largely based around some errors that it would appear I made.
Somebody made some errors in a show, didn't they?
Yeah. And
is this Nick's balls?
Well, we divvy these sections up, and for, you know, by pure coincidence and chance, I'm reading out the comments from our listeners on my own mistake, which I can admit, I wasn't I wasn't familiar with what this song was or what I was really, really, really reading out, and as a result, I made an error, which has been picked
for which
up
I was
by,
penalised in a quiz,
exactly, which you were penalised for, and three people have taken to Twitter to point out. So I will start. Mr. J. Arthur writes, now at this point, I'm actually just going to quickly hand to Tom Dark. How do I pronounce this word?
Well, according to another message that we had from Gary Lord.
Well, I could have just read that out. Well, that's what we're going
to
do.
Well, I mean, that's...
Unbelievable. Okay, fine. I'll just read them out then. So, this...
But that's all I'm doing.
Yeah, so Gaudete, or Gaudet, or Graduate, as I call it.
It's definitely not Graduate.
Is Latin for rejoice. You really ought to have a basic grasp of Latin if you're doing an Alan Partridge-themed podcast, which, to be fair, we all agree with. Gary Lord has also written in, say, not meaning to be a pedant, but steely-eyes man, Gaudet... It's steely span Gaudete, pronounced Gaudete. I'm waiting for an appointment whilst listening to the podcast. It's ace. I'm just wasting time. Sorry. And then finally...
Hang on. So he's ended up apologising to you for your mistake. Yeah.
And at this point, I'm going to say, Gary, I accept your apology. and Matt Andrews finally writes, the Gaudete graduate confusion was bad, but the steely span mix-up was even worse. So,
and he hasn't apologised.
No, but I think it's inferred in all three of those that they are sorry for my mistake.
And now, arguably, you could say another balls up on Nick's heart.
No. This is not a balls up.
Nick's, on Nick's behalf. We go on to the subject of booties. Now, we discussed in a previous episode whether it is acceptable for a man to wear UGG-type booty slippers, and the listeners have emailed in their droves.
I'm reading this and I'm loving it.
Just to clarify, my issue is with anyone wearing them. It's not just not just confined to men.
Okay,
that's fine, but let's focus on Nick wearing them. Let's make it about that.
Nick, who champions booties as a form of slipper wear, the listeners have bombarded us with emails and tweets and all sorts, and I'll just read out two of them to save time. John Ratton, replying to Nick Alder, says, "You have no dignity." And Couch Tripper on Twitter says, "They're so wrong, they could create a vortex in reality."
Well, you're wrong. They're comfy, they're warm, and they're stylish.
They're
awful.
They stink.
And seriously, mate, they stink.
Yeah. Pungency levels are quite high with them. I wouldn't accept that much.
How often do you have to wash them? I'll rephrase it. How often do you wash them? How often should you wash them?
I would recommend fortnightly, and it's probably bi-monthly. The You're stench awful. Is horrendous.
And also, autumn, winter's coming in. Booties are going to be back, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you have to buy a new pair?
No.
I mean, you should, but you don't.
He just switches to Crocs in summer.
I mean, there was a fresh pair, but you threw them in the fire, didn't you?
Yeah.
I bought the
fresh pair of bear ash.
I gave Adam a pair of booties for Christmas, and they were first fed to a dog and then thrown in a fire. So I will not be seeing Adam at Christmas or giving him a present this year.
Oh, anyway, in summary, booties are awful.
Yep.
Next.
Moving back to...
We've lost Tom.
Gone. Moving back to a popular theme on the podcast, it's draw theories.
Yes.
Rob Burnell on Facebook says, "Just started listening to your podcast from the beginning. Loving it." Thanks, Rob. I mean, some would say that it would take an egomaniac to include all of these compliments that came at the start of the tweet.
So. I know, we've got a whole section.
There are loads
of
more.
Just going to put my hat in for the theory of what's in Alan's drawer. I've always assumed it was his rubber thong from his lap dance fantasies. The part where Alan says, "Those were there when I moved in," so it makes sense with this theory. You refer to boxer shorts and pants as those. I mean, that's true.
I think it's a good theory.
That's a very strong theory because it ties into actually then a gag you see on camera as well. It's good. And I've not seen that suggested anywhere else on the interweb.
And it ties in with Sophie seeing them and saying bloody hell as well. So,
it certainly does.
I've got a theory. What if there's booties in there?
Oh, and they've opened some kind of distorted vortex of reality.
You'd see Sophie recoil from the stench.
That's
bloody
good
hell. Yeah.
Or they come out and they're on fire.
Or a dog's chewing on them.
And now it's time for a new regular feature. At the top of our recent Comic-Con live episodes, we asked you what your choice of Alan cosplay would be.
Yes.
We've been sent a variety of great suggestions and also photographic evidence here. So outfits from Ian Jackson, who dressed as Zombie Alan, Dave Atherton dressed as Alan with his ID card, and Dominic Taggarty and a friend dressed as Alan and John the Builder, which I thought was quite inspired.
Yep,
I haven't seen
that one
done before.
It's good.
And then also just in responses to your Alan fancy dress / cosplay ideas, Simon Woolley said I'd have to say the best of Alan Partridge cosplay.
Very good.
Mark Cordell said Cruiser Aravist.
Nice.
John No, and I'm wondering whether I've missed off part of the name copying and pasting there. He wrote, "We had a Partridge party 10 years ago, one of the best days of my life. I went as Castrol GTX Alan.
Great.
And Lottie Ryan writes, my boyfriend and I plan to dress as Alan and Lynn for the next fancy dress party we're invited to. So yeah, all,
Pixar,
all great suggestions
happen.
There.
Yeah. Please do send pictures.
Send them in when it happens.
This is Stop Getting Cresswell Wrong. So Martin Crosswall, not to be confused with
Jason
Cresswell,
Tresswall,
which he hasn't made any reference to that, but I would say Martin Crosswall, you could have thrown your own hat in the ring
there. Do you think that's why he's so obsessed about any Cresswell?
Yes, very sensitive about misspellings.
You think people call him Tresswall?
Possibly.
Or Crosswell.
Please write in, Martin, and give us further clarity around your name.
We need to know more.
We really need to know. So Martin has written episode 15, Alpha Papa Live Part 2, where the Partridge panel gets in some sticky bother over it's all. He just wants to clarify that one, Tresswell, Jason, is the shape bastard. Two, Cresswell, one, someone Alan says he is friends with when he gets in a cross muddle over his Cromwells during the fascinating King and Car phone-in with John from Surlingham, Mid-Morning Matters, Series 1, Episode 3. And then Cresswell, two, Susan, beneficiary of a Norfolk Bravery Award for being braver than 10 firemen and a dozen policemen. That's in I'm Alan Partridge, Series 2, Episode 3. Thank you for clearing that up, Martin Crosswall. We appreciate
you
writing in.
Sorry, what's his name again? I'm unsure about that. So,
Tresswell.
It's Martin Cresswell.
Martin Tresswell.
Martin Tresswell.
Yes, the shape bastard.
thank you for writing in. We appreciate it.
And we know that Alan is fascinated by cars, so this section is Alan's cars. Nick said on a previous episode that Rover had finished manufacturing in 2002. Well, Andrew Philpott writes in on Facebook and says, my dear chaps, I must now clarify because you lazy shits did not.
We are lazy shits, lazy shits, to be fair.
Rover was gone by 2002 is incorrect. Alan is driving a 51-plate Lexus, meaning the second half of 2001, and at this time in the UK, MG Rover actually had a great year selling over 170,000 cars. He finishes the note by saying, I'm boring myself now.
I think that was actually, he was the original message sender that we were discussing.
Right.
So it's basically, we're having a long conversation over feedback episode.
Over many months.
He writes to us and we reply months later on this podcast.
I mean, it's just a great system. But
why was I singled out as getting Rover fact wrong as well? He's not put that in his note.
No, but I think that was you that said it.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
I'm not sure.
Everyone else seems convinced.
I remember.
Ged, what do you think?
My client Nick is innocent.
Thank you, Ged.
We had an epic email from Drew Cameron, which I'm going to distill down to its essence here. He says, dear Adam, Nick, Tom Squared.
Also, no mention of Jed there.
No, either. Sorry. No, no respect for Jed. I'm living in the beautiful South Korean city of Suncheon. I might be mispronouncing that.
Sounds right.
I love taking a little piece of Partridge with me wherever I go by listening to your cracking podcast. Thanks very much, Drew. He said, bizarrely, the city I live in has adopted a sort of catchphrase of aha. You actually see it posted on the side of cabs and things like that. And so that reminds him that Alan is present wherever he is. But his main point is about ABBA. He said, Alan's supposed obsession with ABBA. In I, Alan Partridge, or I Partridge, he says he improvised his catchphrase on his very first episode as the band played the Know Me, Know You theme. Yet at that point, there'd already been a decision to name the show after the ABBA classic.
Very good point.
It also been decided that, however tenuous, every guest would be welcomed with another ABBA classic. Furthermore, Alan had already named a child after an ABBA song. Yet we never hear Alan talk about his love for ABBA. The only other time he mentions them in Partridge lore is to twice discuss himself flying to Gothenburg to negotiate the rights to shout and not say the famous phrase 50 times a year. Furthermore, he seems to be trying to distance himself from ABBA at times. He wanted the show to be called Alan's Show rather than Know Me, Know You. And each week he has the signage team and backing band put increasing emphasis on the with Alan Partridge over the Know Me, Knowing You.
I like the way he's written emphasis on the WAP over the
Kim Kawaii. By the time of Know Me, Knowing Yule, he's actively trying to limit the amount of on-air showtime spent on the catchphrase. There's also a comic relief clip of Brian Ferry saying the catchphrase to Alan, only to have Alan reply that I don't do that anymore. We also never learn where his initial obsession came from. Did some epiphany occur to him in the years where nothing happened between 84 and 87 in iPartridge? Is he keeping this defining moment a secret? Anyhow, this thought's been tumbling around my head like trainers in a washing machine for long enough now, so I'm taking the matter to the highest Partridge authority in the airwaves. Well, I'm sure they'll be pleased when we pass it on to them. Very good.
good. Very
if
good.
There's something obvious I'm missing, please humiliate me with a that's the joke. Otherwise, I look forward to wild speculation on the matter. One small Baileys, please, Drew. P.S. Nick is right. In a Big Country by Big Country is a Stone Cold banger.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Drew. Can I just shock you? I like you, etc. Very good. Very good.
Can I just shake your hand?
Yeah. All very good theories. There's definitely some complexity to Alan's relationship with ABBA. I think maybe he introduced it to start with because he was a genuine fan, and then perhaps over the Gothenburg negotiations, he's cooled on the band a little.
That's very good, yeah. I mean, that's just a brilliant email. That's the sort of stuff we like. Bit of insight, bit of theory, bit of tangent. It's all gold. But yeah, I think he's got a really interesting point that you would think that he would actually talk about ABBA more in one of the books or something like that, but it's only the negotiations and the rights that he talks about, really. And even if you think about the music that features and other Alan series over time, like you have lots of kind of Gary Numan and OMD and stuff like that, but ABBA rarely features aside from naming that show. So moving on from a fantastic email to another balls up
again.
I mean, I'm not surprised. We made a, and again, I think this is feedback on the feedback that we made a balls up when talking about Lexi. I think one of us, and I'll be honest, I think it may have been me, I'm not 100% sure, talking about Lexi saying it's an American company, isn't it? And obviously, as we do actually know, it's the Japanese Mercedes. So thank you to Ed Mayle and Brian Campbell for pointing that out on Facebook. Also, Brian went on to say there really should be a podcast or podcasts about the KMKY radio series. The excuses on a previous podcast for not covering these series are flimsy. There's plenty of great material to talk back. That said, the podcast is really enjoyable. Keep up the good work, and I look forward to future episodes. Thanks a lot, Brian.
What was our excuse that's supposedly flimsy?
There's a lot of material crossover, isn't there, between the TV series and the radio?
Right, yeah,
I don't want to get bogged down in that whole Viper's Nest again.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'm going to pick up on a similar tangent around Knowing Me, Knowing You radio. We've had messages from Jamie Parkins, who says, when are you going to revisit the radio shows, possibly the best of Alan content? That's also echoed by Miguel Wilkins, who says, I'd say it's the cream of his discharge.
No, I don't recognise that quote. Is that, what's that from?
I think that's a quote from Nomad.
Right, that'll be why then. I haven't read it.
And then finally, Anthony Adler says, hi, MK Podders, love your show. I've got something AP related that I cannot believe you're not aware of.
Hang on a minute. MK Podders?
Does he mean MT?
Podders?
Let me just check Anthony, the position of please? The K and the T on the... No, they're quite far apart. He did mean MK for some reason.
Does he think we're in Milton Keynes?
Monkey...
Kennis?
Yeah, Monkey Kennis. Monkey Kennis, hosted by Ged.
You're listening to Monkey Kennis.
Before I was quite rudely interrupted, I've lost my place now.
He's typed it wrong.
So he says, I've got something AP related that I cannot believe you're not aware of, but you've not mentioned before. He doesn't say before, he just says you've not mentioned. An early 90s spoof radio doc called Knowing... knowing me, knowing you, is the duplicate knowing correct?
Or yes, it is.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, fine. Do you know this? I can send you if not. So this is essentially people, again, calling us out, saying, why haven't we covered this part of the Alan universe? I'm going to throw to Tom to give a flimsy and pithy response to our listeners now. Over to you, Tom.
Up yours.
There you go.
No, I think we have mentioned this very briefly because this was pointed out that this radio show is the point where Alan first mentions the fan of swords on the mantelpiece.
I do remember you referencing this.
Yes, so I think we did discuss it very briefly, and it's like an addendum to the Know Me, Knowing You radio show, kind of like a behind the scenes spoof doc.
So where would that have been available before? Like originally? Do you know? Because I guess it's on YouTube now. But
it is on YouTube now. I mean, I guess maybe it originally went out on Radio 4 and probably would have been when you could buy like the CD box sets of the whole thing as well. But yeah, it is on YouTube. I listened to it a couple of years back. So yeah, can't really remember much more about it.
Right.
So yeah. Thanks.
I mean, the other point to make in terms of why haven't you covered this is we're not done yet. So yeah.
there is a lot more to come.
There's plenty of scope for the future. Yeah.
And a quite nice link into the next section. Obviously, we're talking about what's to come and what we have and haven't covered. This is potentially quite a controversial section because we're talking about AP rankings. Now, Chase underscore Moore, who is at I Love Cress on I Love Tress on
I Love
on
Cresswell.
I Like Cresswell. On
Crosswall
on Twitter has listed his or her
their
order of what is their favourite Partridge to date. I'm just going to go through it and I'm going to pass
Should
over
Should we
to
do this from the bottom up, do you think?
Good, count, I like it.
Like
yeah.
Some kind of okay. Top 40 countdown.
I presume hashtag controversial is not part of the rankings.
Right, so we're going to go from bottom to top. So, at the very bottom, working our way up. Comic Relief, 1999. Mid-Morning Matters, Series 1. I, Partridge. Richard Bacon Interview. Welcome to the Places of My Life. Mid-Morning Matters, Series 2. I'm Alan Partridge, Series 1. Kim Kiwap TV. Day to Day. Partridge and Chris Morris Discussion on Diana. Scissored Isle. Nomad. Kim Kiwap Radio. I'm Alan Partridge, Series 2.
Wow.
Now, there's a lot to dissect here, isn't there?
I can't begin to start with how wrong this is.
I think...
But please do.
I think we would all be in agreement on this.
Well, I'm Alan Partridge, Series 2 is not the best Partridge.
And I, Partridge, is criminally low there.
I would agree with that.
I think Mid-Morning Matters is too low. I think I'm Alan Partridge 1 is, in this, is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 series below I'm Alan Partridge 2.
I'd put Kim Kiwap probably a little nearer the bottom as well, if I'm honest.
I love Kim Kiwap.
Also,
I like it, but
it's also
baffling a lot of good stuff.
It's quite a weird list when he's picked out some things to rank specifically that are so small and specific, like Partridge and Chris Morris discussing Diana.
I didn't know that existed.
That's like, I mean, I think that just kind of exists. It's kind of like a hidden DVD extra on the day-to-day DVD, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, how you can put that in a ranking list with Nomad, which is like 70,000 words. Also, it's missing every Comic Relief except 1999, so...
Yeah, and I think there are arguably... There might be better Comic Reliefs out there as well. Yeah.
Now, it's all subjective. Everyone's allowed their own opinion.
But...
Their own wrong opinion.
But I think we around this table would disagree with this order. That's not to say it's wrong. You're allowed your own opinion. Obviously, everyone out there will have a different opinion of where they will put things. But I think maybe one day when we do end up finishing Partridge, we
Please
should do
God,
our...
let it be soon.
We should do our own definitive
Definitely.
List.
I think we should do a whole episode, isn't it? Just ranking everything.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. So should we be aiming? Is the long game here to have our top 10 Partridge?
Well, I think it's a ranking
or everything.
Yeah, I think you lose the little things like a Richard Bacon interview, but we do rank every kind of installment or chapter of the Partridge canon.
So you could group Alan on Comic Relief together as
exactly.
One.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I still need to read Nomad as well.
I mean, it really is very good. Yeah. I recommend it. Well, I think it might also be interesting to hear from other listeners about kind of what their top Partridge rankings are as well. Yeah. But I mean, think it's something we'll definitely come back to at another point in a bit more depth.
Ultimately, this is crying out for one of those Twitter.com World Cup votes type situations, isn't
it? A poll?
Yes, a poll.
Oh, no.
You desperately didn't want to say the word poll.
No. Really working
a game within a poll.
Nick, if we were going to run a poll on this, how would it work?
Easy. Dead easy.
Okay.
You set it up and you make sure that it's multi-layered. So that it's,
multi-layered?
Yeah. So there's a game within the poll.
There you go. Nick Holder there. A game within a poll within an idiot.
All wrapped up in the shape of a Burke.
Wearing booties.
Which are on fire.
And in a dog's mouth.
Okay, moving on. John Ratton writes, "Hi, Dwads. I'm loving the podcast. Thank you. I'm working my way through your fat back catalogue.
That's very good.
After you finished Alan Partridge, would you consider dissecting Jam, the TV version? I would say possibly. Certainly, we're on the lookout for Alan adjacent projects, but I think it's got to be something we've all got a strong mutual love of. And I don't know that Jam is firmly in that category.
Has everyone seen Jam?
Yeah.
I'd be lying if I said yes.
Oh, really?
I've not seen it.
Just don't lie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting one because it is great, but I just don't know. Is it the sort of thing that is worthy to dissection? I don't know. Is Alan worthy of dissection, really? I mean, we're doing it regardless, aren't we?
That's a question that John's asking, I think.
Is sketch comedy the thing to dissect? I don't know if that's...
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Yeah. It's when it's sketches like that, like, how well would that work? But, I mean, yeah, we do...
You need something with big character arcs, don't you, essentially?
Probably where you've got a bit of a narrative to follow through. But, we are definitely... There are thoughts about other things to follow after Alan.
If you've got thoughts and ideas of what we should cover next, get in touch.
We could run a poll on that, actually, couldn't we?
We could. Now, that could actually
work.
How would that work?
That's a bit singular. I'm not sure that would work.
Right. Is there no game within the poll?
No, I don't know how you'd split that into multiple
layers. Okay, so we won't...
That wouldn't work.
Instead of a poll, I think if any listeners out there do have suggestions for what they'd like us to cover next, then please do get in touch.
Yeah. Yep.
And speaking of listeners, I thought we'd just give a quick shout out here to some new listeners that have sent us very nice messages over the last couple of months. So a big thank you and hello to Quaint Hedgehog, James Bancroft, Andrew Dubok, Ollie Dunchock, SJ Wilding, Paul Callington, and I'm sure there are plenty of others. Just thanks for your messages. It's really nice to have some kind words of support and listenership. So, thanks a lot.
We see you, we hear you, we appreciate you.
It's quiz time. We've been sent a quiz by MIDI Error. The quiz actually had 70 questions in it, but we've condensed it down to 13 of the best. Adam is going to be the quiz master as he asks Tom Stab, myself, and Tom Dark the questions. We will be competing to see who can win, and there is no prize for the winner.
Oh. Okay.
Jed's keeping score.
Respect is the prize.
The way you answer the question is to shout out your name, and then we'll go to you for the question. If you don't get it, you're locked out of
Tom.
That round. Okay.
Is that me, Tom, or you, Tom?
Shit.
Lockout. That'll do. Yeah. Maybe we should go with surnames. Anyway, first question. What does a ladyboy consist of?
Stab.
Tom Stab.
It is a pint of lager. It is a... It's a gin and tonic, and it's one small Baileys.
That's right. He's got it. That's 1 point to Stab. The next question. Name three of Alan's TV pitches ideas.
Stop.
Tom Dark, shout out someone else's surname.
Tom Stop.
I don't even know my name. Dark.
Yes, go on.
Monkey Tennis.
Yes.
Cooking in Prison.
Yes.
Youth Hustling with Chris Eubank.
There you go. 1 point to Tom Dark.
Although he doesn't know his own surname.
Question three. At Apache Communications, what is Michael in charge of?
Stop.
Yes.
The internet computer.
Yes, that's exactly what I've got here. Next question.
I've forgotten about
this.
That.
Is a two-part... This is a two-part question. I have to stress this is a two-part question, so you want to hear both parts before you say your name. What material is Alan's thong made of, and what benefit does that bring?
Stab.
Yes.
Vulcanized rubber and it won't perish.
Correct.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Very good.
Next question. What would Alan use to cup himself for the short naked jog across the landing?
Duck.
Yes.
His hand?
No.
I can't remember this.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, I can. What would Alan use to cup himself for the short naked... Yes, Nick.
It's not a kidney dish, is it?
I can't accept that as a full answer.
And an egg cup?
Keep going.
Two egg cups?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right.
I've got it now. Now I remember.
What does Alan crack open and often to share with John?
Oh, Nick.
Yes.
Sunny Delight.
Yes, correct. What injury does Lynn sustain in the travel...
Stab.
Yes.
Minor women's whiplash.
Correct. What brand of hi-fi does Alan try to acquire to Simon? I think that was Nick.
Jed's going Nick.
Bang and Olufsen.
Not according to this.
Oh, I was going to say Bang & Olufsen.
Can we get the question? Did you finish the question? Or was there more to come?
I can read the full thing. What brand of hi-fi does Alan try to acquire two supplementary speakers for, apropos achieving surround sound?
It's not a Bang & Olufsen, is it?
I think the joke here is that the speakers are very high-end and they're from Bang & Olufsen. The stereo itself, somewhat more of a budget brand.
Dark.
Yep.
Tandy?
No, but you're in the ballpark.
Grundig?
No.
Oh, no. Alba?
Yes.
No!
It's Alba.
We've done this before where we just say budget name. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
This is fun, this, even though we're just naming budget stereo systems. By what does Alan instruct Lynn to stand next to in order to remove her...
Yes?
The Yakults.
That's right, the Yakults.
Would not have got that based on that.
Very good, that's very good.
Next question. What piece of artillery does Lynn simulate firing at Alan?
Nick.
Yes?
Machine gun?
No, I'm going to...
Dark.
Yep.
AK-47?
Nope.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes, I can.
This does help prove that we're not Alan experts,
locked out,
doesn't
locked
it?
Locked out, just to confirm, locked out.
What piece of artillery does Lynn simulate firing at Alan?
Bang. Bang, 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 bang. a shotgun?
Oh, no. So you're all locked out. I mean, just to give you a bit of clarification...
Or can we be locked in again?
Yeah, you can be locked in again. Let me give you a bit more information. So it's worth bearing in mind that it's Alan that actually names the artillery. And Nick,
is that Snub-Nosed Uzi?
Yes, that's it. One point to Nick. Yeah. Okay. What does Alan accuse Peter Baxendale Thomas of feeding to swans? Stag. And what does he make pigs do?
Well, it's beef burgers to swans. It's beef burgers to swans, and he makes pigs smoke.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Can we get a score update? And how many questions are left?
If you could generate. Oh, okay.
but it's going to take him well over his word count.
Tom Dark is on 1, Nick is on 4, and Tom Stab is currently on 6.
Oh, God. Can we pull it back at him?
There are still 3 questions to go, so yes, you can.
I can win at this point. That's all I need to know. I'm sorry, Dark.
You're locked out. I didn't even know my own name earlier.
Well, I thought Donatar emailed it.
What 2 items does Alan say Bono has in bed on a Sunday morning?
Oh, God.
Stab.
Oh, yes.
Is it a copy of the Daily Express?
Continue.
And a bowl of Alpen.
I'm going to give it to you. What I've got here is the Sunday Express and the biggest bowl of Alpen you've ever seen.
That's good enough.
Yeah. I had Alpen, but I must admit I wouldn't have got the Express. Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Well, let's speed through because I think we've already got a winner. Question 12 for purposes of our round. Who sponsors Alan's deep bath?
Tom Stab.
Yeah.
Dettol.
Yes, that's right. And finally...
Come back in the game, guys.
Yeah. Another 2-part question. Please wait to the end before shouting your name out.
Please wait.
How many cows does Peter Baxendale Thomas have and how many friends does Alan have?
Stark.
Oh, well, that's just about Dark.
104.
Friends, yes?
Yes.
And how many cows?
Isn't it 104 cows as well?
So he's got this
No,
wrong.
You've got that
oh,
wrong.
Is it 104 cows and 104 friends and 103 cows?
No. Oh, my God.
Stab.
Yep.
Oh, of course I've got... Oh, I've got it again.
Go on, Stab.
It's 104 friends and 105 cows.
No.
It's 104 friends and I've got 100 cows.
Yes,
that's right. Oh, yes, of course it is.
Okay.
Half point?
No.
No.
So, scores at the end of that. Please pass the mic to Jed.
Tom Dark has finished on 1. Nick.
No,
Hang on a second. I am calling out that these scores are all a nonsense. Tom Dart definitely had 2 because he got 1 wrong. And Jed, I could have won this.
I don't think you could have won it. Carry on, Jed.
Tom Dart's got 2.
Now
Nick
he has.
Is on 4 and Stab is on 8.
Absolutely dominated by Tom Stab.
Does that even add up?
Yeah, hang on. What's that?
Jed,
you have 1 job.
It doesn't matter.
There were 13 matter. Questions.
That comes to 14.
Absolute nonsense.
I think I got 7, not 8.
Jed, you're fired. Actually, please don't. We've got 3 live shows today.
The only real loser of this quiz is the truth. So that brings us more or less to the end of this second of 2 feedback episodes. We're going to play you out with a mix that we were provided by Shannon Hay on Facebook. Thanks very much. If you have feedback on the feedback, it's thepartridgepod@gmail.com, facebook.com/thepartridgepod, @thepartridgepod on Twitter, or @monkeytennispod on Instagram. We're going to be back with the first of 7 live episodes from our Mid-Evening Matters tour. The first one's going to be from the Wardrobe Theatre in Bristol, covering Mid-Morning Matters episode 1. See you next week for that. Thanks and goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. I am the champion, my friend. Fade out.
Cut him off.
Britain has some of the safest roads in Europe. But this isn't Britain. This is the Autobahn. An owl hoots. Big balls. Boo-hoo. Anyhow. Oh, shit. Bang! cash back.
Nazis, chit-chatting.
Mince and onion. He may be a gay.
Yeah.
Let's make love. Dr. Note Tranny.
Damn! 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 Damn!
Fuck off!
Bang!
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 Kojak!
Buckaroo!
Hello!
Horrific!
Chill out, babe.
Fat horses.
I'm guilty as hell, then.
Puff flash, bang!
Scum on the run.
Work, Geordie.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Voodoo.
Back of the net.
Pyrotechnics.
Hello, you bastard.
Two of you again.
Rubber up.
Butter my arse.
Pang.
Guess which one of you two ladies I'm going to make love with now.
Bollocks.
Whoa.
Debt.
Sad.
Gust.
I don't trust you.
Jack and Akinori.
Lovely stuff.
How much is a monkey?
500.
How much is a mouse?
150.
Room for a brave one.
Beep, beep.
Fuck off.
Shit happens.
Ruddy bloody good, actually.
I believe we've established that.
Fuck off!
It takes some doing.
Terence Trent D'Arby.
Don't rub your fanny on me.
Oh.
Well, there's no need for that.
Bollocks.
I had full sex with a woman.
Who's this beautiful blonde man with a lovely voice? It's Annie Lennox. Was that a snub-nosed doozy?
Yes, I think it was.
Get a life.
Don't smile, you've broken your neck.
Rather so.
Well, I'm sure we can come to some sort of an arrangement.
Sprouston.
Tints up.
Brown people.
Classic intercourse.
It drags up your bottom.
Who's a shit?
Mission accomplished. Splashdown.
Well, give the man a twirl.
Let the dog see the rabbit.
Yeah, they're ruined.
Well, Sonia, let's be appalling.
North, Norfolk,
monkey tennis?
This is great banter.
Hot ham.
Monkey tennis?
Radical. Awesome. Mega.
Are you on an E?
Monkey tennis?
Yeah.
I'm spinning plates here, mate, I'll be honest.
Monkey tennis?
There have been times when I've been more rubbery than turgid.
Monkey tennis?
Tits bits. Tit bits.
Yes.
It's just an idiom.
You're an idiot.
Ooh, that's mustard.
Monkey tennis?
Sustaining and maintaining our core listenership in an increasingly fragmented marketplace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.